We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hello, Fightful Faithful. Welcome to another episode of Sour Graps. It's the Halloween Havoc edition. I'm your host, Alex Pulowski, and on tonight, for sure, everything sucks. With me, as always, is Kate. Kate went as Trick or Treat Williams, I believe.
So here's the deal. I'll let Alex explain his in a minute, because it does take some explaining.
Sure.
But I was just going to be Treat Williams, but crucially, there are a few differences between me and Trick Williams.
And there are lots.
There's a few. And one is that he is effortlessly cool and I'm extremely corny.
That's not the first one that jumps out to me.
No, I was going in reverse order.
Okay, but good.
If I was going to try and be him, there are certainly some culturally appropriate things that I don't want to go anywhere near imitating. I think we can just let that be appropriately a drawn line.
Right.
Because I'm very corny and very white. Mm-hmm. I already had one pumpkin spice latte today. So instead, what I decided to do was be Trick or Treat Williams in the embodiment of this. And on the trick side, I wrote a bunch of bad booking decisions that we've reviewed from the time. And on the treat side, you got some treats. And I was going to write, like, and Obafemi, because he's the one treat that we've had pretty
good. He is the one treat,
But feel free to share in your own ways that you feel like you've been bamboozled. And I think without saying, it goes with Halloween puns, right? We got to have
Halloween puns. Yes, Halloween puns. That goes for things that are scary, things about, like, you might celebrate for Halloween, candy puns.
Candy puns, for sure.
Anything you want to get. Well, let's open it up to all things Halloween.
Alex, we should explain your costume too, because you are not Costco Beast Mortos.
No. I am the Tri-Bull Chief, bringing back one of the funniest things that I've ever said. But it was on a paywall show, so
it was.
You might not know about, but I'm the hold on, see if I can, there we go. I'm also known as the Tribal Beef, but I am the Tri-Bull Chief. Hold on, I feel like I'm drying out a little bit. Hold on.
So I can't remember what it originally started with, but The Rock had said something that was, it must have been some sort of pun.
Yeah, then, no, he was deciding whether he was going to sit at the head of the table.
Oh, it was the head of the table.
And he was like, oh, he said head of the table. Guys, he said head of the table. And we all knew what it meant, but everyone was really overreacting to, like, the cleverness of it. And so it would try bowl chief. There was a whole thing about Chelvis Kelsey and going to a steakhouse, but wanting to get the fish or the chicken. It was a deal. It was a whole deal. Yeah,
I was like, I'm pretty sure there was a named steakhouse in it all. But guys, get in your super chats and your humper chats. I thought we had a little bit of I'll say uninspired Halloween havoc tonight, unfortunately, but we're going to talk all about it. This is your Sour Gripes review for October 27th. Get in those super chats, get in those humper chats. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. FightfulSelect.com as well. Support original reporting.
Yeah, do
so
that.
Much going on FightfulSelect.com, including Alex and I, who are going to review See No Evil 2, and I will see the first 27 minutes of it because I'm a scaredy cat, but
yes.
Alex will do the rest of the review. We're going to have some more Halloween fun on FightfulSelect.com. Also, a couple of music scoops about people not being happy with Def Rebel. I can't imagine why.
No,
Mikey Ruckus getting locked in longer term with AEW, which is great news for them.
Yes.
And also some notes that went up about NXT last week. Alex and I had talked about the ending of Zarya's debut feeling a little bit rushed. That was the case. There are some continued pacing issues, it sounds like, in the CW era that they're going to try to continue to figure out, I'm sure. But we've got Halloween Havoc, and it was kind of spooky in a different way than I was hoping, Alex. This was not not the best PLE. And I got to say, I feel like there's a lot to get into, but just kind of overall, like, I don't think five matches works for NXT. I think it barely works for the main roster, but five matches, like, this could have done with a punch up of Fraxium. This could have had Javon Evans on it. Like, that would have helped, but just kind of not great. And I also think the first two matches were the best. So it
just
kind of went downhill.
It really did.
Which sucks.
It does, because you can do so much with the Halloween Havoc stuff, and they did. Like, they, when they first brought it back, there was some really great stuff. I still remember there was an amazing Damian Priest versus Johnny Gargano match for the North American title. I mean, that goes back several years, but I mean, they did some really good stuff with it. And I think a lot of it, like, is I mean, so they very quickly, the Jeej is at least well enough to host the opening segment, which is like telling everybody what's on the card or whatever. That's fine. So I'm glad that she's walking around. We heard that she effed up her knee pretty bad.
Yeah.
So what else is new among the women talent in NXT?
Yeah, poor knees of our NXT gals. Yeah.
But anyway, so I'm glad that she's back. But we started out the first match on the card. They started out with Obafemi versus Tony D in a tables, ladders, and scares match. And they made sure to tell us that because Tony D requested it to be so, and Ava agreed, it can be won only by pinfall or submission. Now, Tony D must have changed his mind between Tuesday and now, because he cut a promo saying that if Obafemi wants to walk to the climb to the top of the ladder and get this and pull down this title, he's gonna have to go through me. So he, like, on the other hand, now that I think about it, maybe we should do this thing, pinfall of submission. So it's weird that they had him cut that promo and then change it, but it's also bad because a tables, ladders, and scares match is a pun on tables, ladders, and chairs. Now, if you replace chairs with scares in the name of the match, I would think the chairs should no longer be legal, because that was the whole tables, ladders, and chairs means that all three of those things are legal in the match. And when you replace chairs with scares, then I guess it should be like, I don't know, rubber spiders dropped from the ceiling or something. What, like something like, you know, I don't know what's exactly scares, but you know, like one of those animatronic things that sit on the lawn, and when you walk by it, it goes, it comes to life. Like one of those, maybe that's legal, but chairs shouldn't be legal if you're going to change the name of it.
Chairs are terrifying, so I'm more okay with it than you. But it just felt like, so a couple of interesting things to me, not interesting in a great way. Like, I felt like most of the people that should have won actually won tonight. Like, normally we come on here and we say, man, the in-ring always shows out, but the booking is not great. I actually thought the booking went the way it was supposed to tonight, but the means to get there was just very lackluster. I felt like the Halloween Havoc set, you can't do Halloween Havoc with minimal LED screens. And the rest of the set that was built out just kind of looked like a white girl was hosting a party. Like, it didn't really do anything. Yeah. But this match, like, there was good and bad about it. I felt like you had to obviously protect Obafemi, and he lost to the family and a crowbar. They beat the dog crap out of each other, which I appreciated. Like, they really, 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 really fought. I didn't love the execution of the way that the family was integrated necessarily. Like, it came across kind of overly theatrical, and they were to war. So when it's kind of like the stop the presses kind of interference, I don't love it. But I gotta say, like, I felt like at the end of the day, for me, it had accomplished its job of, there was just too much shit for Obafemi to overcome, and Tony D retaining the title making sense there, because I didn't want a hot potato either. So I felt like they kind of booked themselves into this. I think this was probably the best case scenario that you could get out of this as an opener. But it was just kind of, the ending was just a little bit cheesy.
So how about we have it be a tables, ladders, and scares match, where it's a ladder match, because when you do a TLC match, it's a ladder match, meaning the belt is hung above the... How about we do the exact same ending, but after Tony D puts Oba through the table, he climbs a ladder and gets the title down? I'm just not okay with seeing Oba pinned twice in a row.
That's fair.
I'm not okay with that. That, not after what you've done with him, not after you made him in the match basically indestructible. And also, like the stuff that he was doing, like, this was, at its core, until the weird stuff happened toward the end, an excellent hardcore match with both guys going crazy. It was a hardcore match. You can call it whatever you want, but as long as you're not actually hanging the title above the ring for them to go and get, well, then it's just a hardcore match where ladders are legal. But, like, ladders are legal in this match. Ladders are legal in every hardcore match. Yeah. This doesn't make sense to bring them out and use them as weapons, because if you use them as weapons, like, if you're not, the ladder serves no functional purpose as a ladder because you're not climbing it to get anywhere. So just use a chair instead.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So, like, the only thing you did with the ladder in this one is to span it between the ring and the announce table for a spot that happened late in the match. But these guys were killing each other with the chairs. The table hung in the corner so that there was a giant running European uppercut. By the way, Claudio, you now have some competition for craziest running uppercut in the biz. Ooh. Because all of a sudden this guy's putting an extra 100 pounds behind it with about the same amount of velocity. So that's kind of crazy. That was an amazing spot. Also, Tony T, like, taking a crazy beating through this whole thing. And like, that was really great.
He's an excellent salesman with those. And I love, because it worked for me watching the match when Obafemi was beating the crap out of him. And then he had, like, survival spots, but they were of insane strength. Like, Tony D is really strong, and he was doing some impressive stuff with Obafemi. Like, but there was something really cool where, they say, like, adrenaline strength or whatever, or, like, the someone's dying so suddenly somebody gets the strength to pull a car off of them. Like, there were times in this where I felt like Tony D was like, if I'm going to live through this match, I have to do something that is stronger than I've done before or whatever. Sure. And so when you add, like, the desperation emotion with his legit strength, like, there were a couple spots in here that I was like, man, like, people sleep on Tony D because he was meme over, but he's really, really good. And whenever he's in the ring, really it's good. A reminder of it.
I just wish that the adrenaline spot that you were mentioning wasn't to save Big Ange from being hit over the head with a crowbar by Obafemi. Because
that got weird.
Yeah, didn't it though? Because he came in, he zip tied Tony D to the bottom turnbuckle in one of the corners with some zip ties, and then in come Luca and Stax and Big Ange, and he deals with Luca and Stax like they're nobody, like they're 4-year-olds, and And then Big Ange is in the ring, so he menacingly walks her back to the apron. She steps out of the thing onto the apron. She picks up the crowbar. And then, like, I think she's supposed to swing it at him. He's supposed to catch it. She just kind of held it out, and he grabbed it away from her. And that was bad. That was straight up bad. And then he gets it from her, and he's going to be standing there perfectly in line with the ladder that's been laid out. like threatening to hit her with a crowbar. And I don't want that from anybody.
Yeah.
Just let's, like, I don't need that from anybody. That's not a thing I want to see, like, you threaten on TV. Certainly not with Obafemi, who I just don't feel like is that kind of dude.
No,
but he
they
gets
have not
speared
made him out
through
to
the
be
ropes
that guy.
By Tony D onto the ladder. And then the way it all finishes is you know, Tony D, I think it's Ange hits him with the crowbars, Luca hits him with the chair, then tosses it back to Stax, and they do a big rig / shatter machine onto the chair, and then Tony D does a spine buster through the table. So if you wanted to protect Oba, congratulations, you did that. I just feel like once all the family got involved, it became more about that than it became about can Tony D overcome this guy. And I feel like that would have been a better finish. Oba looks amazing. If the plan to, like, because when he beat Tony D at No Mercy 1 month and 27 days ago, it did not look like in a month and 27 days he'd be having his last match in NXT. We don't know that for sure, but it sure looks like he could be one of those random fall call-ups. Or you're done in NXT, kid. We're going to train you and debut in the Rumble, and you're going to be a major deal going into Mania season.
I also
that could
thought
be possible
maybe
as well.
That's why they took the ladder stipulation out of it. Maybe they didn't want him to get... That's a really easy way to get hurt.
I mean, usually,
when you're the big guy, yeah. But like maybe they were like, let's protect him a little bit more.
Right.
But I would do what you said of like continue to work with him off screen because he is still so young at this, but he's so good. I get not wanting to resist the temptation to call him up, but like raise him the way that you did Gunther on the main roster. Mm-hmm. Like let him follow in a similar trajectory.
Right.
It doesn't have to be like an IC title thing, but he needs to feel as protected and important as Gunther, I think. It kind of even more so because Gunther had so many years of prestige behind him already and was so established. Like, Obafemi's had less than 40 matches in his career, I think, maybe.
Yeah.
So, but if he's going up to the main roster, he has been probably their most successful performance center creation from the perspective of me as a fan. Like Braun Breaker's off to a great start. Bianca Belair's done the most like insane, incredible things. And
right.
But like from the, certainly on the men's side of the like highest ceiling guy,
mm-hmm.
I think he's the one. I think he's the
yeah.
one.
Yeah. All right. Chikini saying, some new wrestlers hesitate with their first weapons match. Oba did not. Vicious with everything. The first 5 minutes were perfect. The rest got silly. That's kind of what I would say with it.
That's fair.
You know what I mean?
That's a fair assessment. And to your point about him not hesitating, we're going to talk about Trick Williams chair shots later. But like he has also survived every, in my opinion, he's passed every test with flying colors of what do you do in this situation? Because his whole title run was, what do you look like in a triple threat? How do you work with a smaller guy? How do you work with someone who can bring the fight back to you? Like, it's smart. You should be doing that in developmental mm-hmm. of how do you survive and how do you thrive in all of these different contexts that you're going to run into in a wrestling match on the main roster.
Right.
And he's been great at essentially all of them. So good stuff there. The ending got a little goofy. I understand why they did it, but could have been executed better for sure.
Yeah. So we got later. Much later, backstage, we got them saying that they're going to go and celebrate or whatever. And, you know, it just seemed kind of generic. And I thought maybe we were going to set up for a new challenger for Tony D or an ECW legend was going to, like, dap him up. And they were going to get, like, a little exhibition between those two guys, the thing in a couple of weeks. But it just was like, all right, let's go. We're going to get the best pizza in town or whatever. You know, like, I don't know.
It should be Crowbar. He's always using the crowbar. You should
honestly,
have
that is true.
Have Crowbar be the guy, yeah. But yeah. I don't know. ECW was not necessarily, I didn't watch it in real time, and it's not my bag to go back and watch all that much. That's just not the style of things I like. But is there someone from ECW you would want to see with Tony?
I mean, he's wanted to go back and do the FBI, the Full-Blooded Italians.
Oh, my God.
The Mama
yeah,
Lukes, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He said, like, it's not up to me, but I would like to work with them. So,
oh, that's fun.
That
would really,
be great
really
if they
fun,
did.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Of course,
yeah.
It's right there. What was I thinking?
Jasmine Hawkins says, here's money for the Dodgers, Kate. Sorry. Halloween Havoc was good. Well, Oba versus Tony was the best match on the show for me. Fallon is champ and Delta will destroy her. Yeah, we'll definitely get to that. Thank you, Jasmine. Tim McFowell says, wow, I can't believe I missed the Jaden Daniels Hail Mary for that dumpster fire. As fun as the opener was, don't promote a TLC, then give us a hardcore match. That's basically what they did do. Women's tag was easily match of the night. Worst PLE of the year by a country. It didn't. It feels so good to me. But yes, I agree with you. Here's the thing that kind of cinched it for me just because this thing happened on this show. They interview Lexus King about how he can't seem to find
anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
Save big on all your Halloween needs, all in the Kroger app. Get juicy red, green, or black seedless grapes for 99 cents a pound. Then get tender USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
A corner man for his big Heritage Cup match on Tuesday. I've looked everywhere. I don't know. I guess people just can't seem to separate me from my father. Everyone thinks I'm so like him that they won't be my corner man. And then you hear, "I'll be your corner man, sunshine." And I'm like, "No, no, 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 no." And everyone's like, "Well, relax. He's obviously going to turn on Lexus King. And he's going to like cost him the match.
Son, yeah.
So align with his son, Charlie Dempsey. That's obvious." I'm like, okay, great. But let's say that doesn't happen. Let's say they don't do the obvious good thing and instead do the dumb thing. It is one of the worst things that's ever happened in NXT. He is the grandfather of NXT, the most like identifiable figure with the brand through its history, other than Triple H, maybe even above Triple H, because he was on TV all the time back in the heyday. And this is a tacit endorsement of the Lexus King babyface turn by the most important voice in NXT's history. This is awful. This must lead to him turning on Lexus King on Tuesday. Otherwise, this is the worst thing that's ever happened.
I can't imagine it would go any other direction. Like, even say Lexus King was someone that was a pure baby face and whatever. William Regal even just being like in someone's corner but not doing weird heel manipulative stuff would be wrong. Yeah. So I would hope against Lexus King that's the case. And to align himself with the son. Like that makes all the sense in the world. That group could use an on-screen manager if they want to go in that direction. There were several thousand things I didn't like about this. One, I just don't buy it. Like, I don't buy that William Regal's like, you know what? I've been off screen for the entire year mm-hmm. and a half or whatever. Yeah, no. I've been back in NXT. That's the guy.
This is the guy.
I'm coming
this
back
is the guy,
for.
This is the guy I'm coming back for.
I don't think like, oh, God, remember the historic rivalry between Brian Pillman Sr. and William Regal? Like, no. Like, the, mm-hmm. like, I remember your dad. Like, I don't think that's, like, yeah. the first thing that comes to mind. And, like, I don't think it's fair that they now keep referencing his dad when Brooks Jensen has a loose cannon character. Mm-hmm. Unless it's just gone now. But, like, I felt like he was interrupting main event segments. And he was, like, fake suspended but still showing up. And he was, like, super committed yeah. to it. And
yeah.
it wasn't for everyone, but, like, it was for me. And he was committed to it. And they built something right. out with it. And now they're just like, well, now we have to refer to Lexus King's dad, who he's trying not to be.
Yeah, I know. It's so
weird. That's just.
Sorry, I was getting a little dry. I'm sorry.
The sorry, sound of it almost sounded like a bull, like when it gets air in it and you can hear it double uh-huh. clutching.
Yeah, yeah.
It's perfect. Mm-hmm. You can really double as Beast Mortos for Collision now, too. That's like a very versatile. Where did you find such a thing? You could also be...
Find what?
This...
The headband with the little... This thing?
Yeah.
I found the wig, and okay. I said I was going to be the tribal chief, so I just went on Amazon and found a bull headpiece. And there were lots of them that looked like real, and I was like, that's too... Oh, this has got to be silly.
Yeah,
this is just
course.
This is just a headband with some, like, little, you know, I don't know, stuffed horns and some ears.
It's more versatile than you think, because I feel like it could be a Viking Raider, even though they're the War Raiders now.
Nah, I mean, yeah. The ears kind of give that part away. The ears, the little fluffy ears. They're a little fuzzy. They're fuzzy ears. So
that's true.
Yeah.
But I feel like you can float across brands with it. I feel like you could be
I am the tribal chief. I can go wherever I want.
It's true.
The rules don't apply to me. This is my barnyard now. I'm going to stand in the middle of a ring and let booze rain down upon me for 12 straight minutes. And then I'm going to get on the mic and say, this is my barnyard now.
It doesn't work as well when it's.
Yeah.
I should put Lexus King being managed by William
Regal.
Yeah,
you should be. You should put that there for sure. Hey, so I would say best match of the night. Women's tag.
Thousands of miles, yes.
Steph and Julia are excellent. Roxanne is everything that she's supposed to be as advertised. And I don't think it's fair that they put Cora Jade in this spot after a year away from the ring. It just, you can't help but compare.
Of course.
And it just doesn't, and it doesn't also doesn't help. It doesn't help. It really doesn't. For the announcers all night to be like, what a dream match. A dream tag team match. These four. What a scenario. This dream match. And I'm like, I wouldn't classify it as that. Like, it'd be one thing if Cora came back 4 months ago and started helping Roxanne. And they become tag champs. And, like, they had the real reign that they were supposed to have the first time. And they, like, Cora had gotten a bunch of wins under her belt, and they made her feel like she was Roxanne's equal. But this is all just a hype machine. We haven't seen it from her, mostly because she's been out for a very long time,
yes.
twice. So, like, I have no doubt that she's very young. She has a lot of potential. But right now, to, like, say it's a dream match, which to me means all four women are near the same level currently.
That just ain't the case. She will get there. I believe in her. But it also puts a lot of extraordinary extra pressure on her to like try and be. And she's a step slow. It's her first match back after a year. Like yeah. She's going to get back to that point. At this point, I don't think it's fair to put her in this particular spot.
It is hard too, because she's in there with not just three great wrestlers. I'm talking three of the best wrestlers
uh-huh. right.
on the planet. Like, how far ahead Roxanne is for her age is insane. She won't be hungry for a while because she ate Julie's knee for breakfast, lunch, and dinner with leftovers.
That was the other thing. It's like that particular moment, that knee from Julia, Roxanne didn't kick out. Like, Julia let her up.
Yes, yeah.
Julia let her up. And it was like there was, if you had put any weight across her shoulders, she was done. She was like, she just did this. Like, there was nothing there. So, like, she got rocked. And that also, like, affected the rest of her particular match from then on because of a thing that happened during the match. I just, I thought this was really well done. There were some really good, I'm not saying she did terrible in the match by any stretch.
No, she
but
just,
like, but it just didn't, it didn't, when ridiculous. She was in there versus Stephanie or Julia, it looked very different than when Rox was in there versus Stephanie or Julia. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and to your point, she was, God, she had an injury. She came back for a minute.
Yeah.
And then got injured again. That's really rough. And Roxanne, Julia, and Steph are better than most people. I saw, it's fun to see things like, I was not really familiar with Steph Ecker, but she's now a top 10 women's wrestler, in my opinion, or whatever. Like, there was a lot of that on my timeline. Like, whoa, who is this woman?
Which was, she's amazing.
I love seeing that. Right now I'm inclined to agree with you that, like, I love Julia. I think she's super unique. I think her look is incredible. But the way Steph moves about the ring is, like, just kind of on a different level in a very, very real way. And just the chemistry with her and Roxanne, man. Right. It was...
Yeah.
They had that type of chemistry that... I remember Punk saying this about Rey Mysterio. He was like, man, we could get in a ring, not say a word to each other, and go have, like, a five-star match right now. Mm-hmm. You kind of got that feeling of just, like, man, they were just on the same page. Julia was such a fun difference maker in pacing, too, because she is so stiff. Like... Rox moves pretty quick. Steph moves very quick. And then Julia would come in and just be like, like, enjoy this forearm. This was by far match of the night. I really, really liked what we got out of this. I think Steph pinning Rox is the right move. And I think she's lined up to be champion. I initially assumed it was Julia, but I think you might be looking at Steph and Zarya as your next new champions, which is pretty cool. That's a really good duo.
I think they'll probably set it up by having Steph, like, turn heel on Julia.
That so makes that sense.
Once Steph beats Roxanne for it, Julia is the babyface who chases Steph, while you have Delta, whose name I will not say, just wrecking everybody in the mid card, and then you have your eventual big face off between the three of them. I think is something that I would love to see as well. Sweet and Sassy Creations agrees, says that Stephanie, they prefer Stephanie over Julia. They're both very, very good. I think Stephanie just is like something to, like, just there's something about her. She's just like the people, as Luis says, if anybody says she's copying Thunder Rosa, I'm gonna. He said something that I'm not allowed to say she's not doing that. That's a fairly standard thing practiced in Mexico and in Latin American countries with the half face of the Dia de los Muertos skull. And it looks great on her, but it's just so intimidating. The aura, the horns, not like these, they're actually pointy. it's great. It's great.
Alex.
Yeah.
If I had to put money down, Because people are talking about Jordynne Grace coming in. I would say she might just go straight to the main roster. Jordynne Grace.
Yeah.
I would even think maybe Jordynne Grace is going to be a Royal Rumble surprise and show up there.
Oh, yeah.
And if I wanted to put money down on that, I know exactly where I would go. And
Where would you go?
Why, I would go to BetOnlineAG.
BetOnlineAG. All of our odds that we've ever gotten from wrestling, MMA, boxing have come from BetOnline. We are so proud to be doing business with them. A lot of you guys are saying, wait, you can bet on pro wrestling? Yes, you can bet on pro wrestling. In fact, I've got it at a minus 200. This lawnmower outside my window isn't going to stop by the time I do this ad read. You hear that? I would have made some money at BetOnlineAG with that prop. Go check out the BetOnline wrestling odds. That's the only ones you have ever seen on Fightful, because we only trust BetOnlineAG. They're 25 plus years, their safe and secure environment, their high limits, their credit card acceptance is all unmatched. You can bet big with their rebet functionality as well. The earliest lines that you're going to find, whether it be wrestling, MMA, boxing, or other sports, BetOnline. Check them out.
Can I be so for real?
Yeah.
I was on the Thursday post show, and we did our rundown for the TNA Bound for Glory card.
Right.
And Jordynne Grace was at a minus 1,000 with Masha at a plus 600. And Joel Pearl said, what? No, Masha's winning. And I am not a betting gal, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to throw $25 on that for fun, because Joel was so confident and the odds were so heavy. I now have $175. That was once $25 just a day ago.
Wow.
Which is quite the treat.
Oh boy.
Got a real... No, I don't have any puns. Darn it. I was going to see if there was a pun in there. But also a treat was this women's match. That was by far the best match of the night. The women are absolutely ruling NXT right now at the top of the card, to your point. And soon to be in the mid-card. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah. Tim McFowell says that Julia is one of the best women's wrestlers in the world. But Steph is one of the best wrestlers, period. She's my favorite wrestler, regardless of gender, says Tim.
Can't argue with that. She's amazing.
And then Steph, the writer, says, add Julia and Stephanie to the women's tag title match at Crown Jewel. You know, with their victory tonight and the one that they got on Tuesday, they now have more victories in the last 6 months than Jade and Jakara do. So maybe they should be in that title match instead of the team that has one victory in 6 months.
Then Lash and Jakara, you mean?
Yeah.
That's what I meant. They might have more than Jade and Bianca. They're not the most frequently defended title, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, so guess which stipulation is usually bad, and tonight was way more bad than normal. If you guessed ambulance match, you're correct.
I did guess that because I watched the show, but if you had asked me at any other point in the past couple months, I would have said special guest referee, but this one was an ambulance match tonight.
Woof.
Not good.
Man. And it, like, you're like, I think all the winners won. No.
This was the one.
No.
This was the miss.
Especially when you see what they're planning on doing with the winner of this match. Like, that's a terrible call. Don't do that with him. And if you think you have to do that with him, then I guess you have to have him win this match. But please, for the love of God, don't do that with him. So, Andre Chase is back, and there was no Duke and there was no Riley. And once they never showed up to, like, help him, I kind of thought, well, they'll show up at the very end to help him, and that's how he'll win. And, well, they opened the ambulance really early in the match, and they weren't in it.
That's right.
And I thought I thought we were going to get close to the ambulance a bunch of times, and then finally, we're going to have Ridge Holland drag Andre Chase all the way to the apron,
an ambulance and finally open it up at the very end. And inside are going to be Riley and Duke. And it, well, A, that would have been difficult because that was a station wagon. They used an ambulance from 1950, and I don't know why. It looked more like a hearse than an ambulance, but that was what ambulances looked like 70 years ago. You know what I mean? They looked like that. But I don't know why they didn't do a real ambulance. Maybe it couldn't fit in the venue.
That was the only thing I could think.
Was it supposed to be a haunted ambulance? Was it supposed to be like, oh, this is, you know, like when the Ghostbusters repurposed an old ambulance to make it Ecto-1? Did they repurpose a Ghostbusters car to make it an ambulance again? I don't know.
If it was an Ecto car, that would be amazing. I would have accepted that.
That would have been great. So he they didn't have Duke and Riley come back here. Theo wasn't here. Just Andre Chase by himself, which is weird because it's nominally a hardcore match. Anything anybody else does, there's no disqualifications. Duke and Riley and Thea could all have been hitting Ridge Holland in the head with chairs for the entirety of however long the match lasts, and nobody would have been punished for it. Like, what it makes it look like is that Andre Chase either doesn't have real friends or is a fool for telling his real friends not to get involved. He was wearing a very ugly sweater, more ugly than normal. It was supposed to be a Freddy Krueger sweater, but then had Chase U written on it in colors that, like, you can't do navy blue over like red and that weird brownie.
Mustardy, yeah.
That's not good. This was not a very good match whatsoever. It did not help that the gurney that they were using for most of it kept like just falling over or getting the brake locked in place where it shouldn't have. It was not a good match. It was not a good match. At the end, Andre Chase tries to put Ridge in the ambulance, but Ridge fights his way out, does like a little monkey flip type thing under the door for it. So he bangs his forehead in the door, then does his rampage, and then throws him in there and closes the door, and Ridge just wins. And Andre Chase is not knocked out. He's in there, like pushing with his hand against the window, trying to get, but like they didn't drive off. Like usually it's like I put you in the ambulance and then you are taken away, but they didn't do that. He's just there, so he's just like, hi, I'm fine. So Ridge won the ambulance match technically, but like, so that, like, the story you told was that Andre Chase got revenge on Ridge Holland for doing all the stuff that Ridge Holland did to not only him but also all of his friends and also his university or whatever. And the story you are telling is not that Ridge Holland wins.
Yeah.
Like of all the time to like disregard the babyface has to win this feud. Part of it, the time you do it with is Ridge Holland. Not with Drew McIntyre over CM Punk or literally any of the other times where it feels like probably the heel should win this. But according to wrestling storylines, the babyface has got to come back and give the heel his comeuppance. I get it. The one time you don't actually go through with the thing that you always go through with, it's with Ridge Holland.
There was a considerable lack of shenanigans. And I'm not usually pro shenanigans, but if you're going to do this match, you have to shenan and you have to shenan again and again and again.
That's true.
Like, that's what the match is. There was one point where, yeah, whatever, I felt bad. There was a point where Andre Chase went to throw the gurney at Ridge, and he went to throw it, and you could see on his face being like, nope, this gurney is not stable. Right. And Ridge tried his ass off to sell it, but it was like, it would be like if I pushed a shopping cart into someone, but it had an errant wheel and it just didn't do anything. No. Like that really took the wind out of the sails. It's weird. It never really got going. And then I like it when matches don't play into tropes that we all know and expect. We were making jokes on Tuesday about like, of course we're going to see this, that, and the other. But you can't also do nothing. Like, you have to come up with other creative things to do in place of those things, as opposed to this was just like it never really got into the next gear, and it ended on also not getting into the next gear, unfortunately. This was probably my least favorite thing on the night. And to your point, like, there's no satisfaction as a viewer. Like, whether we love Chase Yu or not, and the way that this has gone, like, the hero has to come back and get his thing, right? But unfortunately, I think what we get later indicates that we're going to have a rematch of this with Bully Ray as special guest referee.
Well, no, yeah, we'll talk all about the Bully Ray stuff in a second. But yeah, I don't, this isn't, I guess, I don't know, the feuds are never over, so I guess Ridge is going to, like, try and move past this, but Andre Chase won't let him, or whatever, like,
I guess.
Yuck. I guess. So, during this, the pre-show, Fatal Influencers decided that instead of it being a Fatal Four-Way, where all three of them could be legal at once versus Kalani Jordan, that it would be a gauntlet match, which makes them very, very dumb.
Why did they change stipulations between Tuesday and
now? No, there was no stipulation. There was no stipulation. They spun the wheel and it landed on Spinner's Choice. And they said, we'll make that choice.
That's right. Okay.
On Sunday. And so they made the choice. But the choice, instead of it being a Fatal Four-Way where all three of us are legal at any one time and we can all gang up on you, we're going to make it a gauntlet match. So you have to beat us one at a time. And now, because of the booking, that worked out for them. But it didn't need to. You know what I mean? Like, that just... Nobody involved in this match comes out looking good. Like, the first two who lost don't look great.
No.
Kalani loses. That doesn't look great. And Fallon only wins because of the laziest shenanigans. And that doesn't look great. And it's going to look even worse when she gets her absolute ass handed to her in her first defense of that title. So I like Fallon, and I like JC, and I think Jasmine Nix has potential. I think Kalani Jordan, with anybody trying to help her find a character, could be something really good as a babyface chasing something. I do not think, especially now that we say this has been the entire reign. If you look at her reign, I do not think it was a good reign. I do not think it was booked very well, but it wasn't helped by the fact that they didn't give her a character coming into the match that she won when she won the ladder match in June, and didn't try to do much of anything along those lines since then. So, she beats Jasmine Nix with her with a 450. She is able to stave off JC Jane with a leverage pin, a bridging leverage pin. And then Fallon, then JC rocks her with a rolling elbow before the match with Fallon gets started. But Fallon doesn't really take advantage of that. And she's able to hit a split-legged moonsault on Fallon. And would have just won. However, Jasmine Nix, who has not been sent to the back after losing the first match, climbs up onto the apron, and the referee, who is already down on his hands and knees, ready to count the pinfall, stands up to tell her to get off the apron. You could have counted the pinfall before she would have gotten into the ring to break up the pin. Like, just continue with your job. Like, it makes the ref look dumb. So the referee's like, no, hold on. I got to stand up and tell you to get off this apron. And then Kalani looks dumb for getting off of the pin to go and knock her off the apron to then not be able to pin Fallon. And then JC Jane gets up on the ring and she gets involved. And somehow the referee is still looking at Jasmine Nix, who was no longer part of anything. And so then, because she does that, then Fallon is finally able to pin Kalani. So all of this is just, you're talking about shenan once, you'll shenan again. They shenan four or five times in the same match. Like, it's just, they shenaned far too much.
There was so much shenaning. And on a night where everything is intentionally shenaned by the fact that, like, just every match other than this is like a stipulation, basically, right? Do you have something emblematic of a paw that might belong to a monkey on your desk?
I do. Let me find it. Hold on. That's right here.
The chat saying Cresta must have agented the bet. So they gave me literally exactly what I wanted, but the vehicle to do so was not great. It was a big one of these. Like, yep. I wanted Fallon Henley to have a reign. I wanted Kalani to come back to this picture when she's more prepared and ready, and they've done more with her and for her. I want Zarya Delta to enter and look like a beast.
Mm-hmm.
They are doing everything right except for the match that they gave us with it. Because this makes so much sense, right? Like, Zarya is going to come out and she's going to beat the ever-living crap out of Jasmine Nyx and JC Jayne, and then Fallon Henley's going to get her ass kicked. She might retain via shenanigans, and then Delta...
No. No, I won't allow what they did to Julia for them to do it to Delta.
I hope not.
She has been presented as an absolute monster. Like, they didn't have Julia, like, punching down walls while standing on top of a mountain in her vignettes coming into the company. You know what I mean? Like, she walked into a post-apocalyptic city and beat up a bunch of mutant ladies and then climbed to the top of a skyscraper and punched a sign that said Halloween Havoc on it. And then she got down off of that skyscraper and climbed a mountain. And on top of that mountain was a brick wall. And she punched a hole in the brick wall. She is a monster. You know what I mean? Like,
I can't unthink of the... How tall is the wall if she's standing on a mountain punching the wall? I guess when you beat mutants, like mere mortals or whatever. I hope they don't do that too. I hope they don't do that too. So, I hope she's presented as an unbeatable monster. So they did a lot of things that make sense and are right here. I just like my kingdom for JC Jayne getting any sort of respect. Like, she looks like a chump in this match. She's going to get fed to Zarya. Like, man, she's been there forever and she's really good. And they don't seem to be calling her up anytime soon. Like, what more is there to do? And they just kind of keep making her look like a fool, which... It's a bummer because I think she has a lot to offer, but we'll see. We'll see. This whole angle has felt weird when they were like, we are the veterans. And also, here's Jasmine Nyx, who has had less matches than I can count on one hand. Like,
she joined the veterans before she had a match.
She was now that you say that, I kind of respect it. Like, she really pulled one over on them. Yeah.
I would have just thought, let's just put over Kalani here. This is her biggest challenge ever, is three women back to back to back who all hate her, and she's able to somehow overcome it, shenanigans and all. And then Delta comes in and says, I'm taking that title from you. And Kalani's like, okay, let's go. And you feed her to Delta and you give her something to work against. You give her a mountain to climb, the mountain that Delta is standing on, punching down brick walls
with the very tall wall. Yeah.
You give her that mountain to climb, because let me tell you, I think Delta will be more ready for the main roster in 8 months than Kalani will be still. But if it takes 8 months for her to climb back up to that mountain and get her NXT North American Women's title back from the woman who beat her, like, that's a story. You tell that story for 8 months, and in 8 months, like, Delta will be ready for the main roster. Like, she's ready now, let's be honest. And she also, because, you know, it's a country that speaks English, you don't have to worry about this weird thing of like, there's a little communication barrier with Stephanie and Julia, as they have said. Like, so we want them to, like, help to work through that in NXT. Don't need to worry about that with Delta. Like, that's something I would much rather see Delta squash Kalani for it than squash these heels, who are already look ineffectual, and they finally get the title that they want, and then they're going to look ineffectual. I believe they will probably be beaten pretty soundly by Delta and then look ineffectual in that way. So I don't know. I think you could do a lot more.
Kind of a condemnation of the NXT Performance Center when you think of it that way. The people who have been here the longest are terrible at this.
They're not, but like that's the thing. They're not. They're both very good. Yeah. JC and Fallon are both very good, and they could easily like be booked to, you know, to look better than they have.
Agreed.
I'm really happy for Fallon to have the NXT North American Women's Champion. I don't feel like she's going to keep it until deadline. You know what I mean?
No, I think the rematch will be a deadline and she'll lose that.
I mean, rematch? Oh, she'll lose it to Delta and then try and get it back from her?
Yeah.
Feel like once Delta beats the hell out of them, they're done. They're done. You know, like, because Delta...
They should be.
This feels like when you have the monster heel come in to squash the other heel. And then that's it. The heel, the ineffectual heel never gets the rematch. You know what
that's
I mean?
True.
Like yeah. when The Miz got was the champion because he hired Bobby Lashley to help him take out Drew so he could become the champion. Bobby Lashley eventually got that match and he squashed the hell out of Miz. Miz didn't get a rematch for it. He was like, thank you, sir. I'll see you later. Like that's, you know, it's...
And I'm out.
Yeah. And I'm out.
I gotta say, like, if in a few months from now we have Steph as your women's champion and Zelta, as our chat keeps calling her, as your mid-card champion, like, mm-hmm. we're cooking. That'll force that mid-card to step up in a way that has not been forced to in a long time. My guess is they feel like Kalani's a little too vulnerable for that, but I like your idea. I like your idea there. This title reign has not been helpful for her.
Sometimes a babyface who is like her should be vulnerable.
Agreed.
Like the vulnerability of a babyface sometimes helps us like cheer for them. Like I still think if you would put the title on Jada Parker and presented Kalani as the woman who's going to chase and eventually overcome Jada Parker, making her vulnerable would help us identify with her. And like, you're like, to me, again, going back to that ladder match for the North American Women's Championship, it didn't feel like there was a possibility she was going to win it because they hadn't done anything with her character prior to it. And then we're like, here's your champion, anointed. We're not going to do anything to like make her seem like more of a full fleshed out character. She's your champion. There she is. And that just nobody connected with it. But if you would actually said, okay, we're going to build her up, make her vulnerable, watch the chase, and eventually she becomes the champion, I like a lot of more people would have been more able
invested.
To identify with it.
Agreed. Very much agreed.
Ryan Chikini says, weirdly thought that Nyx looked the best of the three tonight. She is improving.
She's good.
Every time that she does stuff. I like her kicks. So the Zarya Delta Zelta thing. After the tag match, she appeared, they did her little vignette-y thing, and she appeared like way up in the skybox. Like standing there and like, oh, so she's saying I'm coming after somebody. And then after this match, the lights go out just as Fallon is like, listen, we run things around. Click. And I come back up and Zelta's in the ring, a headbutt that misses JC Jane by a foot and a big clothesline to Jasmine. And then an F5, really good looking F5 to Fallon. And she stands there and we obviously know what's going on, but it does feel like they were kind of just, as Ryan Chikini says, they kind of just redid the Zarya intro from last week, the Zarya Zelta Delta.
Yeah. I'm also kind of okay with that for this spot. Cause you don't want it to be much more than that, but it felt like this in its entirety was supposed to happen at the end of the last mm-hmm. episode, but they ran out of time. So they kind of did that here. But I'm generally okay when people miss headbutts, even if it looks really bad. I hate that people do them for what we know about CTE. But I'm very, very excited about her future. I love the presentation with her. Like she looks like such a star. The way that they had the, as you called them, the Sheamus lights in front of her last week, I thought was really, really cool. So looking forward to that. Hope that they find something for the very talented trio to then go after, especially the older two thirds of it.
Right. So let's tell the saga now prior to this. Well, let's talk about, we're doing this a little bit out of order. So They're look at this stage book. We're over here by this ambulance that is still here, presumably with Andre Chase still inside of it.
Do you think Shaquille O'Neal was in the other one? Because he disappeared to the AEW one, and we never saw him again.
look at this. The next match, the Devil's Playground could end anywhere. The Fouls Count Anywhere book, it could happen anywhere. It could happen here, or it could happen over by you, standing amongst all these foam rubber gravestones.
My God, it could happen on a train. It could happen on a plane. It could anywhere. Happen here
and
or
then,
there.
And Tatum comes out of the road box, which is now covered in cobwebs. She's like, oh, I'm alive. That's wonderful. Hey, Ava, I want a match. Like, that's great. We need to get you to medical because nobody's seen you for 5 days. Are you okay? Have you been drinking water? Are you all, like, that's difficult for people to live for that long without having any fluids. I'm fine. I just need a match with Wendy. And I was like, psst, Wendy. Wendy got laid out by Rosemary on Bound for Glory. So I don't know if she like gives a damn about you anymore. But so she spins the wheel and gets a casket match. Like
For Tuesday.
So I was wondering because you know it's Crown Jewel next weekend. And usually for the Tuesday before the flight over, they do that as a taped episode.
Yes.
But they didn't do a double taping last weekend. So I thought they were going to do the old takeover thing where they were going to do a bunch of matches before the main card and then tape those in Hershey and then like do like Halloween Havoc Night 2 but with a bunch of undercard matches. But they didn't announce that. So I'm not really sure exactly what's going on with any of this.
I don't know if there's any talent that's going over there. Like, there were, I feel like a lot of times there were,
but like they send production guys over there because
that's
it's
a
major
point. Yeah,
deal.
That's a good point.
Like, they send people who, like, cameramen and stuff go over there. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, so anyway.
Well, Alex,
Taters,
I gotta say, like.
Yeah.
Was in the casket and just, like, whew, sat straight up. You know what I mean? But sometimes, like, you don't just stand straight up. You know what I mean? Sometimes you need a little bit of assistance because you're not, like. You know what I mean.
You dealing with a nosy mailman all up in your business about what you're ordering, what you're getting? Well, don't worry about it with BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. It ships discreetly. Discreetly. Fortunately for you, because the mailman's going to want to know what's going on. He's going to be delivering that mail to your house. He's going to hear all these sounds. He's going to be like, what's going on there? Well, I don't know because this package doesn't say anything, but I have a feeling the package in there is saying something, and it will be because of BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. Helps get you that main event performance and confidence. And you get your first shipment free when you go to BlueChew.com and use the code FIGHTFUL. Like I said, same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but much more affordable and in a chewable. Take their online quiz, and then when approved, it ships straight to your door. My gosh. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Mind your own business, mailman.
You don't want to trick yourself in or out of anything. You know what I mean? You want it to be a treat for everybody involved. So,
that's right.
BlueChew.com, code FIGHTFUL. To make your nights sweet as candy, baby.
Yep. No, listen. I did this during commercial like a professional. I sprayed myself down during commercial where nobody could see because I know what I'm doing here.
Whenever you toss your hair or adjust it, it's giving Cher. It really the babe oil is coming out next. Should we do some chats? Should we do some super chats?
Yeah, sure. Matthew Plus is around somewhere.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Sending this reminds Sour Grapes viewers there's a better world out there than watching these two schlubs talk about a homoerotic activity for children.
Thanks for your money, loser. Happy Halloween.
Yeah, that's good.
Ryan Cicchini says that to me, the money is a Zol is a Zelta and Sol Ruka feud. Now
that'd be fun as hell. Yeah,
it would be fun as hell for sure. For sure. I honestly, at this point, because of the way she is progressing and has been progressing, and also of all the new people that are coming in who I think are going to have belts, I feel like we might see a Sol Ruka thing where she leaves NXT without ever being the champion.
I think that's very possible.
And is a multi-time champion on the main roster. Like a Bianca Belair type of thing. You know what I mean?
I think that's so possible. And then she gets a Becky Lynch pity run later. Mm-hmm.
So during the pre-show they threw to Dave LaGreca and Bully Ray in the middle of the crowd talking about how great the card looks, and my TV has never been more muted. And then Ridge Holland walked in and I was like, can I mute my TV again? Is there a way to mute the mute? And he's just yelling at Bully, and I was like, ah, crap, they're setting up Bully Ray versus Ridge Holland for the ECW arena. That's going to suck. Oh, Bully Ray. Like, this is what I thought during the pre-show. Bully Ray is going to come down and help Andre Chase. And that's how Ridge Holland is going to lose. And he's going to blame Bully Ray for it. And then he's going to have the match versus Bully because of that. And then, after the 2 matches ago is when Ridge won, and then he comes out to like talk shit to Bubba Ray again, and I was like, this is the second time you've interrupted me, blah blah blah, and so that's about all we got, and him yelling at each other, and then obviously they don't like each other very much, and you need to respect your elders, young man, or some crap. So like, oh, we're definitely getting that match. Thankfully, we already know that's a match we're getting, and we don't need to revisit this at all for the rest of the night, I said to myself going into the main event. Now, the main event was a trick or street fight. I know it's Trick Williams is in it, but you know the match that they do on whatever, a Raw or SmackDown, the closest that one there is to Halloween, they do a dumb hardcore match where all the weapons are candy,
yes,
and pumpkins. And that's what this match was. This was not, there were Devil's Playground. I thought the Devil's Playground meant it had to be in a cage. I thought that was the whole, like, you're in the cage. That is the playground. There's weapons everywhere, but that's the Devil's Playground. There's no cage. They were using weapons and stuff. But like, it didn't, until they started playing around with steps, none of it felt like impactful.
Yeah.
Like at one point, Ethan Page comes out with a bag and I was like, there's going to be candy corn in it, isn't there? And candy corn somehow would have been more like nasty than what it was.
Why are there washers in this?
Like, it was like, oh, nuts and bolts book. That was, they were, it was 85% flat metal washers. Yeah. There were a few nuts in there and a couple of bolts, but you can't say, look, it's nuts and bolts, and then show a close-up where they're all flat washers. And you taking a bump on that would be like taking a bump on the canvas. Like, it just,
if you want just like a couple of nuts in this world, you got two of them right here. We're hosting a show right now.
True.
This popped to be huge when Bully couldn't remember Zarya's name. I'm sure he was like, is in touch with the scene and knows her as Delta, but he was right, definitely, yeah, like,
he wanted to say Delta and did not know what dumb name they had given her.
But it was like, it was so funny because you could hear him dancing around it of like, man, Kalani is not champion anymore, and I don't like what happened after with that forced to be reckoned with that showdown. I was like, oh no. Man, you know, Trick is really good, and Ethan Page is great, and they've never quite had the chemistry. That happens a lot with really great wrestlers. Yeah. I would even say Moxley and Danielson are not, I'm not like, wow, their chemistry is what lights up their matches. Like, but they always find a way to make it work, and I feel right. Like Ethan Page and Trick tried to do that tonight. Honestly, at the Devil's Playground, I'm like, I don't fear hell that much.
Mm.
Like, this isn't that bad. I will avoid this. If I go to hell, I'm going to take the elevator. Like, those stairs did look kind of nasty.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if you're like, we're in hell and it's recess, go on the playground. I'm like, this isn't that bad. I'll go outside and play.
Right.
But there was also, like, Ethan Page released a rap. And I just feel like they're all over the place with who this guy is. Like, first he was The Miz. Oh. And then the past couple promos, it sounds like we got away from it. But then he's, like, doing a rap diss track, which is pretty silly.
He's doing the rap diss track to be like, I'm going to beat Trick at his own game.
Like, Trick, I get it.
Diss tracks and la, 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 la.
I get it, but people are still chanting, put some clothes on at you because of the Hendry thing. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't feel like the way that Ethan Page would get under somebody else's skin. So
yeah,
that wasn't like my favorite, but it's also Halloween Havoc and wrestlers should have fun because it's supposed to be a very fun, spooky, corny pay-per-view. But this was, I can't say there was much that was wrong with it other than the weapons being kind of mid, but it just didn't feel like a blow off. It didn't feel like a particularly well-built feud, so maybe that's a big part of why. But the stairs were vicious. Trick needs to work on his chair shots. Those were some video game chair shots in the beginning. They didn't look great. They're both good wrestlers, and this was a serviceable match. It did not feel like the blow-off to a feud, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of... This was another one that I was just waiting for, like, okay, and now what? Like... Let's get into the juice. Like, let's get into the meat of this match. And it just didn't kind of happen.
Like, it didn't feel like it went very long. Like, I'm going to look up the match time right now, but like...
No, dude, this pay-per-view was over at 9:30.
I know. Normal, like, show, but I thought this one would be the overrun. Like, yeah, I don't know. Like, it just... That didn't make a lot of sense to me. The way that it... Like, I hit you with a low blow. Now the stairs. You don't have the devil in you. I've got the devil in me. And I'm going to hit you with these stairs. And then
the devil in me. Everybody knows.
Okay. And then Trick Williams hits him with a low blow. And then drops him on the stairs. And then this is Trick knee and pins him. And that's just it. 1, 2, 3. So,
now,
like,
I'm not a fella, but I would imagine getting kneed in the nuts or any sort of low blow
right.
would hurt more than getting dropped on a bunch of washers. You know what I mean?
Yes. No, for sure. This was the longest match of the night. If you had asked me that, I would have said there's no way. 18 minutes? This lasted 18. It felt like 9. It felt like half that.
It did feel short.
I don't know. It was weird. Everything else was around 15. Okay. I guess they skimped on the Wheatley, so good I drink it neatly. Usually that's how they pad the runtime on these things.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that their normal show runs 208 and this ran 230 is kind of weird. These ones need 6 or 7 matches. The other ones get away with it because of the right. star power, I think, a little bit. But, Alex, they didn't need to escape any cage in the Devil's Playground, which I felt was kind of weird. Like, that was just odd. Like,
usually there's more scaping.
Nothing felt dastardly.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing felt dastardly about it.
No.
Just a bummer.
No. So, Trick wins. Oh, by the way, they also announced, and we can just go ahead and just talk about this right this very second, that ECW Arena, one of the matches we're getting for that is Jada Parker versus Lola Vice with a special guest referee. It's going to be Dawn Marie, ECW original, will be the special guest referee for Lola Vice versus...
I completely didn't hear this or see this.
Oh, you didn't see this?
No, I don't know what I was doing, but I completely missed it.
I thought that was the reason for all of your special guest referees. Why are there so many special guest referees?
No, I assumed Bully Ray was going to be a special guest referee, but they're just going to full on do a match with him.
No. The special guest referee that's happening is Dawn Marie is going to referee Lola Vice versus Jada Parker. That was announced. So that is one. And then
she's the special guest Dawn Marie is what she is.
Yeah, and then special guest Dawn Marie, and then so there's that one. There's the LA Knight special guest referee. There's the CM Punk special guest referee. There was the Trick Williams special guest referee, and then there was the Seth Rollins special guest referee. That's five since SummerSlam. We are in
In October.
Five in less than 3 months feels like there's a punch card that WWE has in their wallet. And if they get 10 punches, they get a free sub sandwich.
You have to
understand
that this
so often.
This was heartbreaking for me on multiple levels because that means we're getting a Bully Ray match. Like in my head, I thought Bully Ray's going to be a special guest referee and then Chase and Ridge rematch. Because
here's what happens at the end of the show. This. Ridge Holland runs in to attack Trick Williams. Oh, God, no. Yes, that's why they put him over versus Andre Chase. So he can have the first challenge for Trick Williams. And they put him over hard, making him seem like he's a major deal. And so he's going to be the guy who, coming off a win, I guess that's good. Coming off a win versus Trick Williams, but this is all the only reason you do this is so you get Trick Williams some defenses because it's going to be a longer reign, which is good for Trick Williams. Okay, that's fine with me. But then Ethan Page immediately stands up and he's like, "Hey, Ridge Holland, good to have you here. Let's both put the boots to Trick Williams." I was like, "Oh no, oh no, this means that Trick Williams is going to need a partner for a tag match in 2 weeks." And out runs Bubba Ray Dudley to run off Ethan Page and Ridge Holland. So Trick Williams and Bubba Ray Dudley versus Ethan Page and Ridge Holland is almost certainly a match we're going to see in the ECW arena.
It's also like, it's the 2300 arena, guys. Oh, brother. So, like, Bully Ray's going to tag with not his tag partner, which double sucks. And this is, oh, man, that stinks. Oh, that's such a bummer. This is, for the love of God. I watch Raw on Mondays. I watch NXT on Tuesdays. I watch Dynamite on Wednesdays. I watch ROH on Thursdays. I watch SmackDown on Fridays. And I watch Collision on Saturdays. Find a different way to set up matches. I am so tired of the same freaking playbook. My God, how many times across all of American wrestling right now do we get like either that tag team and a guy versus these three other people, or exactly what happened tonight across six shows the frick a week? Somebody, any wrestling brand, I'm begging the wrestling gods, somebody on God's green earth, I will do like a some sort of channeling. I will do a Ouija board on Halloween. I will do whatever you need, wrestling gods, for anybody to get a creative idea that isn't, hey, you have a friend that's going to run in and save someone at the end of this. Holy hell, man. Oh, Danny Garcia in Private Party versus three guys that we don't like anybody on that side. Do something, anybody. I'm so tired of matches getting set up this way across all of wrestling. It makes me bored, Alex. It makes me bored VPN.
Buying pay-per-views on NordVPN.com/Fightful is going to enhance your pay-per-view buying process. Now, one subscription to NordVPN has so many different benefits, but if you're a big pay-per-view buyer like myself, UFC, boxing, pro wrestling, all that good stuff, any combination of the three, if they're doing a fight circus or something like that, this subscription will pay for itself after one or two pay-per-view buys. change your virtual location, pay for it at the prices that other people are paying for it in the UK, in Australia, etc., etc. And you can get different interfaces. Maybe you don't like Peacock and you want to check out the WWE Network the way that it used to be, the way that it was designed to be, the easy navigation, so on and so forth. Maybe you want to watch AEW without commercials. Maybe there's some other overseas services that you can't subscribe to and you want access to them. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that with a great deal and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Even better, 24/7 tech support. So if you have trouble navigating any of it, they can help you out. Fastest VPN on the planet, NordVPN.com/Fightful.
Chi-Town Spurs says, Bully Ray standing tall to close out a PLE. That's the worst ending I've seen today. And I'm a Chicago Bears fan.
Oh, no.
And Tim McFall says that rant from Kate made it almost worth it.
Well, I'm glad. Almost. I'm glad, and I will say at least the Hail Mary is an interesting way to end a game, so I hear you on that, Chi-Town Spurs.
Ryan Cicchini says, I think Ethan is having fun while figuring his act. I think he knows what his act is. I think that they're, like, pushing him in directions where his act doesn't belong, and hopefully they'll round it out and let him just know what his act is and do it, because it just feels like they tried to make him into, like, some kind of psychopath for this match, but then didn't have him wrestle like a psychopath, except for, like, you know, the bag full of washers. So Sweet and Sassy asks, do you think Ethan will move to the main roster after this, or what is next for him? That would be a really short time in NXT. Like, that would be even shorter than Dragon Lee's time in NXT, and that felt very short. So, like, she's certainly ready, but I think you can do a lot with him. I would love to see a feud between him and Tony D. I think they'd have vignettes together. Like, Ethan Page in, like, a pre-taped thing in Tony's restaurant would be excellent. I at this point, if I don't get to see an extended feud between him and Tony D before he moves up, I'll be disappointed.
Yeah.
I'll be disappointed if he doesn't get a chance to work with Tony D for that title.
He's someone that could go up at Rumble-ish or post-Mania or whatever. Like, he's someone you want to have a plan for on the main roster, but we had said Obafemi that might, like, work with off-screen and then have him debut in Rumble. Ethan Page is someone who could work up until the day before Rumble and then jump in. Like, this guy is... Mm-hmm. A pro, he knows exactly what he's doing out there. He's fantastic. So, I'm excited for him though. Like, I'm glad he's been, even though the booking hasn't been great, I'm glad that he's continued to be near and around the top of the card, because it means they see something special in him, which he is.
Yeah, Chris Pereira gives us our first Halloween pun. Chucky Taylor.
Very nice.
Chris Pereira says Candyman Sewer.
Very good.
Joseph Molina says Mooya. I'm not really sure what that is.
Fabulous Mooya.
Oh no, you know what, for this one, Hoo-ah! It's Mooya, because I'm wearing the thing. I like that a lot. Jess Ricardo says Jessica Halloween Havoc.
I mean, right there, beautiful, right. Beautiful.
Chris Pereira says Jason Voorheel. Not Jason Voorhees, but Jason Voorheel. The Santa Curtle photo says the American Nightmare Before Christmas.
Very good.
Chris Pereira says leather face turn. Chris Pereira says crucifix pinhead. And then MD Jack-O-Lantern sent one in that was written by somebody else. Steph the writer said M&M's collection. Which I like that very much.
I love when people send in ones on behalf of other people. It rules. You guys are the best.
And then we got a few here from Alpha Bill says that I might be doing the bovine version of Soul Glow from Coming to America. But that would be this is far too luxurious and straight. It's not curly, so there's no product in here whatsoever. C. Delgado asks, Kate, who is worse at their jobs, HBK or Aaron Boone?
NXT season is still alive, so I'll say Aaron Boone is worse.
Kim Gray adds Ricky Stark's burst.
I don't get that one. Starburst. Oh, Starburst. Sorry.
Stark's burst.
We got so many movie villains, and as you know, I don't watch them, so it's hard
to know. No, I know. I understand. Yes. Exactly. And Kylie the Gamer Princess says, hi, how was Halloween Havoc? Was it spoopy? Hi. SGS? It was not really spooky.
Spooky in the wrong way.
Yeah.
Spooky in the wrong way.
It's almost scary how bad it was. and finally, one jukebox. One jukebox. This is it. No more. We're getting out of here quick. Tim McFowell says, because of the hair flip. Dusty, the ghost of Dusty Rhodes, singing Believe by Cher. Are you around, Justin? It's me. Hold on. Here we go. No matter how hard I try, baby, you keep pushing me aside. And I can't break through. There's no talking to you. It's so sad that you're leaving. It takes time to believe it. But after all is said and done, you're going to be the lonely one. Oh. Do you believe in life after love, Daddy? I can feel something inside me say, I really don't think you're strong enough. No, do you believe in life after love, baby? I can feel something inside me say, I really don't think you're strong enough. No, what am I supposed to do? Sit around and wait for you? That'll be hard time, but I can't do that. And there's no turning back. Jack, I need time to move on. I need love to feel strong because I've had time to think it through. And maybe I'm too good for you. Oh, but you believe in life after love, Daddy. I can feel something inside me say, I really don't think I'm strong enough. No, do you believe in life after love? I can feel something inside me say, I really don't think you're strong enough if you will.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
It's really, whenever you hit your falsetto, it really, it warms the heart in a different way. It's really special.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Well, I gotta go back to the Great Beyond. I'm prepping for the trick-or-treaters. We get so many trick-or-treaters. Yes.
Do you?
Yes. It's kind of sad, you know, because they're children in heaven, and that's not fun, but at least they get a trick-or-treat, though, and they come by, and, you know, we have all kinds of the king size bars. We don't skimp up here. We get the king size bars.
You so gotta get the nice. King size.
You gotta get the king size bars. Size, yeah. All right. Okay. Gotta get the King Kong Bundy size bars. Okay. Bye bye.
Bye.
What happened? Alan,
I'm assuming he went back to the Great Beyond. He didn't tell.
He didn't tell us. Dusty Sharon the Love.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. There you go. All right.
I thought about being the ghost of Dusty Rhodes because I saw at where was I? I can't remember, but they just had a polka dot fabric, and I was like, I could just get that and like cut out my eyes. But we might just be fully disrespectful at that point. Right now we're silly.
I mean,
sometimes borderline. Yeah. That might have been over the line. That might have been.
I don't know. We'll have to see on Tuesday. See you Tuesday for this the big casket match on a regular episode of NXT, and also Axiom and Fraser versus Javon Evans and Cedric Alexander.
Yes, absolutely. So, the Blurry Boys.
Two matches that probably should have been on the card tonight.
Yeah, certainly.
All right, everybody, keep cool, gobble ghouls. Acknowledge me?
Yeah.